You're listening to the most exciting morning show in Tallahassee, The Greg Tisch Show, featuring Matty Rowe, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 a.m. on Tallahassee's only locally owned radio station, Real Talk 93.3.
Live from the Grassroots Coffee Studios in the city of Tallahassee, it's The Greg Tisch Show, featuring Matty Rowe behind the glass. Today's show is brought to you by Southeast Portable Buildings, Infinity of Tallahassee, Kraft Nissan, Foodies Takeout and Delivery, Paul's Termite and Pest Control, and Hearth and Patio. Welcome back to your Monday. Fun show ahead of us with all kinds of stuff happening. Bill and Doug have Bill Bellamy on at your service with a story that's so amazing, it will make you want to stand up and put your hand over your heart and say the Pledge of Allegiance. Plus, Smitty's Tap House and Grill on the Florida Farm Bureau Insurance Wheel of Food. And now, if you steal a Tesla, does that make it an Edison? Greg Tisch!
Matt going smart this morning. Good morning, Matty Rowe. Good morning, City of Tallahassee, Apalachicola, Carrabelle, Thomasville, Somerset, and Cincinnati. Currently 77 degrees in the capital city.
Good morning, Greg Tisch. Good morning, Matty Rowe. More hot weather with the chance for scattered showers and storms to start off the week. Highs in the mid to upper 90s, but the heat index or feels like temperature is much higher. Today, a 50% chance of showers and storms, mostly sunny with a high of 98. I'll have your official weather forecast at the bottom of the hour.
Thank you, Danielle.
I love hearing that 50% chance of rain. Yesterday, got back from the pool, heard some thunder boomers off in the distance, and it's like, yes, rain.
And?
Delicious rain for my plants. Nothing.
Nada, huh?
Nothing. Hits other parts of town. I know that storm got pretty severe as Leon County Sheriff's Office on their app sent out something. But 50% sounds great. But what doesn't sound great is a heat advisory, noon to 7 p.m. Advisory, heat index values over 110 expected. And that is portions of the Big Bend and the Panhandle of Florida.
Not
drink
fun.
Plenty of fluid, stay in the air-conditioned room, stay out of sunshine, check up on relatives and neighbors. Yeah, it was hot as hell. I mean, literally hot as hell the last couple of days. Friday, just extremely, extremely hot. Just hoping for those afternoon showers, which looks like they're going to happen today. Afternoon showers tomorrow, afternoon showers Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, going all the way through the 8th.
Ooh.
Having those scattered showers in the afternoon. So good.
We definitely need it. Yeah. That's for sure.
But everybody working outside, definitely make sure you drink plenty of liquids. Mm-hmm. 69
nice.
in Cincinnati. I almost tried to put them together.
Cincinnati?
And 73 in Somerset. How was your weekend?
It was nice. It was very relaxing, very long. I did a lot of sleeping this weekend, which was necessary, I think. It was needed. Although the drawback to that was last night trying to go to sleep was very hard because I had taken a nice long nap on Sunday.
Oh, you're SOL.
Yeah, I was SOL. Basically, I didn't go to bed until about 11:30 last night.
Damn,
so
son.
I'm feeling it this morning, especially because my wonderful puppy dog woke me up at about 3 o'clock this morning and said, "Hey, I got to go." So took him outside. He was taking care of his constitutional when the sprinklers went off around the house. So that was a new experience for him. He had never had that happen before, and he was freaking out. So I spent the earlier part of my morning trying to get him back inside the house because he was like, "What's going on? The rain is coming up." And he's just running around the yard having a grand old time at 3:30. He's having a sprinkler party in the front yard.
Awesome.
And I'm like, "Dude, come on, man. I only have a certain amount of time I can actually sleep, and you are like cutting into that big time right now." So he finally did come inside. I found a towel and wiped him down and made sure he was cleaned off. And had just enough time to walk back into my room as my alarm went off. And I was like, "Oh, great. Okay. I guess it's time to wake up now." So
I found a couple weeks ago some overgrown shrubs that are on the side of the house.
Mm-hmm.
A little sprinkler, just a, looked like a frog, and just has a sprinkler sitting on top that just sprays out.
Right.
So I've been putting that in the elephant ears, which are getting just huge. I have a mm-hmm. twin elephant ear.
Wow. Okay.
Like it, they're getting so big, they're starting to split off. And
it's
so
like a whole elephant there.
It's yeah. You can put a trunk in the middle, but I've got two ears on that are coming out of one stalk.
Mm-hmm.
And so I used that little frog sprinkler, put it inside the elephant ears, and it gets mm-hmm. all of them very wet, and it's able for the water to get into the down and really saturate inside.
It's like a nice little water feature.
So when I have it outside of that, Millie just goes crazy for it. The first time, she just kind of walked by, and she's like, oh, what's that hitting me? Let me eat it.
Oh, yeah.
And started eating the, eating the water, just arf, 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 eating the water.
Right.
And then she just, all of a sudden, she just plops down. Starts rolling over on in the grass and everything. I was like, all right, get back up. And normally when she plops down in to go rolling around, it's usually not a good thing that she's rolling around in.
Mm-hmm.
But this was fun. She just loves it. So I always make sure I pull it out for her and to make sure that she can have her little sprinkler time because nothing better.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Nothing's better. I mean, she's, what, how old? She in human years, she's like 30,
mm-hmm.
32. And so she's still like, all right, I'm going to act like a little kid still. I mean, she still acts like a little kid because she's husky.
Mm-hmm.
But she just loves that. But, yeah, boy, I miss those days of, you know, and I know that we have differing opinions on the lawn sprinklers that now it's like, oh, they're ruining my lawn. But, you know, back then there was nothing better than making that mud pit somewhere.
Oh, of course. I was like, this is fantastic. This is wonderful if you're a dog. Not so much if you're the owner of the lawn, but that's okay.
Right. What's on the wheel?
Today we've got Smitty's.
Smitty's, all right.
Yeah.
So we still don't know if that 50 or if that 50's out there yet.
Yeah, that's right. It's
so
still floating around.
A $20 or $50 gift card from Smitty's Tap House and Grill.
Mm-hmm.
Had some friends that went by there, and they tried the grilled cheese. And
yeah.
It's just amazing.
Nice.
Just amazing. They're like, they wanted some more hot sauce on it. And I was like, fine, put more hot sauce on it. You know, ask them to make some hot sauce back there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very, very delicious. So one other thing that happened to me over the weekend was I got a moment to take a picture of like an odometer moment. I have never actually had that happen to me before, but it was kind of cool because the odometer actually rolled over from 111,111. So I got all the 11s across the bottom, which was super cool. And I've never been able to pick up a picture like that, so I feel like I am now in the loop.
So you,
which is awesome,
did what? You stopped?
I stopped my vehicle. I was driving back in from Havana,
mm-hmm.
and it turned over to 111,111 right in front of Porter House.
So you're one of those idiots that stops on the side of the road to take weird pictures of your odometer.
No, I stopped in front of Porter House Meat Market. So, did you get one too?
150,000. I stopped.
Nice.
I've been looking forward to taking that. I was like, I got to stop. Why? I've been looking forward to taking this picture for like a month now.
Yep. I know exactly the feeling.
Right by the Oklotny Bridge, heading down to the coast on Friday.
Awesome.
Be right back.
I don't know about you, but I absolutely love this damn show. Greg Tisch and Matty Rowe will be right back. Facebook Live? Check. Online podcast? Check. On the air? You know it. It's Greg Tisch on Real Talk 93.3.
Sponsor this half hour, Hearth and Patio. Anything fire, Hearth and Patio can do. Fireplaces, fire pits, custom outdoor kitchens, and grills. Give our friends a call, 850-727-4282. That's 850-727-4282. Or online at hearthpatiotallahassee.com. Three-bedroom home in San Francisco's Russian Hill neighborhood is up for sale for a steal.
Oh, really?
Just $500,000.
Ooh, that is a good deal. Okay, what's wrong with it?
Nothing. You gotta, you know, they're just like, it's a 1,100 square foot house, and it's in 30 North View Court in San Francisco. So let me take a look at the map and then see what I can see where this is. This is really good neighborhood. I mean, well, it's located very, very close. You're about two blocks away from the Coves. You're just right down the street, literally, you could walk down one block and then over three blocks, and you are right by Fisherman's Wharf. Beautiful house, just sitting right on a nice hill. Nice little one-car garage. It looks like it was made for a Model T. That's how small that is. Your next-door neighbors are literally on top of you, and your street ends right with you. So looking at, you know, real estate, there's nobody going to build, and you've got an even smaller house. Well, I guess it's not a smaller house that's next to them. It's just above them. And if you look across the street, yeah, just a nice neighborhood. But the catch is, and the house is selling for, it's going for just a very nice price, $488,000, which is a steal in San Francisco, which would be a steal in most places with a larger downtown area. Yeah. But the catch is, you can't move in for 30 years. 30 years is when you can buy this house. So this all came as a big surprise to all of us on the street, said her husband, Tim Smith.
Right.
Listing posted on Zillow said the home is tenant occupied and is going to be sold as is. The buyer won't be able to move in till 2053. 30 years. I don't think I'll be around for that, said Elia Smith. The new owner would have to buy the house subject to a very long rental lease that is currently being offered to an individual. According to the listing, the current tenant will continue to live there and pay the same amount of rent every month. Oh, my gosh. And here's the great thing. Again, about four blocks away from Fisherman's Wharf. So this is a prime, and you got a little one-car, tiny little one-car garage. So if you have like a little Miata or something, or a little 911, an older 911, you can fit it in there.
Okay.
Because you'll be able to afford a 911.
Yeah, exactly.
Living here, because the tenant is currently paying, and again, San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Four blocks away from Fisherman's Wharf, in just amazing neighborhood. No through traffic because the stops right there. Your street, just a little dead end street, very small dead end street.
Mm-hmm.
The tenant is paying $417 a month for rent. Okay, I don't care if this is four blocks away from Fisherman's Wharf. I don't care where this is. I ain't going anywhere if I'm paying $417 a month, and that I am absolutely rent controlled. If I'm three blocks away from the Capitol, I'm not moving because I'm paying $417 a month for rent, and it's not going up.
Yeah, no kidding. That's insane, the amount of the ability that you have with that kind of house.
Not that I want to live in San Francisco.
Yeah.
But
that's
again,
the one drawback.
But again, $417 a month for rent. I will take that anywhere.
Right.
I have to think. They're like, where? San Francisco? And then what? How far away from all the theft and all the homeless? Oh, four blocks?
Right.
Okay, but there's seals out there, right? Yeah. Oh, you can go.
Oh, there's seals everywhere.
You can go and look at the seals all on Fisherman's Wharf because sometimes you can catch the beautiful sea breeze of the seal poop coming up toward you. Because those things.
I didn't realize that was a plus.
Oh, my gosh. They smell so awful.
Ugh.
Fisherman's Wharf. I mean, it's Fisherman's Wharf. It's,
sure.
It's mainly just a tourist trap now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still no smell good. We got down. We went. Got down to the coast, and I always played Climax Blues Band, couldn't get it right, and I played the remix that I found on Friday for the first time, and always roll down the windows to get that just beautiful, just whiff of Gulf
air. Sea breeze.
And I pulled a Christmas or vacation again. Roll them up! awful.
You were done with that one.
Low tide, just dead smell.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, God. And then, of course, it's all stuck in the car. It's like, take it off of recycle. You know, tried to get that in.
Get the fresh back in.
It's like, roll them down. No, just leave them up. Trust me, it'll go away in a couple minutes. It'll let it go through the filtration system.
Ugh.
For some reason, they gave this person a 30-right year of possession.
30 years?
I've seen that before. It's a sloppy way of estate planning. I want to leave some security to the person so they don't have to worry about where they're going to live. They can do that. I think they've just done this in a different way, said attorney Stephen MacDonald. MacDonald says the home will be sold as is. Take it or leave it. It's for a very, very unique buyer that's willing to get a big discount, maybe two-thirds, maybe pay $1 million for a $3 million house and wait 20 to 30 years before you can move in. It's a bargain for someone if they're willing to wait. If somebody would like to invest in their children that they haven't had yet,
yeah, with, I was going to say what that's going to have to be.
With their second wife?
Yeah.
Then think of that, that skit from Saturday Night Live. Meet your second wife.
Yeah.
that awesome. Maybe this is something you want to do, because again, this is $488,000.
True.
And well, who knows if San Francisco is going to be there in 30 years.
Yeah, exactly.
That's also the thing you have to look at if you're moving to the area where it's very earthquake prone.
Well, if you remember, Hugh Hefner actually tried to do that when he was selling his house. He was saying, you know what?
Does that place still exist?
Yes, it does, but it's been completely renovated now. The caveat of purchasing the house, there were two things that were supposed to be taken into effect. The first one was the main house was the exterior had to stay the same.
Okay.
So it had to look the same on the outside. You could do whatever the heck you wanted to on the inside. And the guy who's purchased it has done the just that. The grotto is gone. Okay. There's nothing in there that you would need to have like a black light for or anything anymore. But the other caveat was that Hugh Hefner was supposed to be allowed to live in the building until he passed away.
Okay, and then so when that happened, taken care of.
They took over and renovated the whole shebang. So yeah, apparently it looks really nice now. And it's a lot nicer on the interior as well. You don't feel like you need like some Febreze.
I don't really know much about that house. It's a Playboy Mansion, former Playboy Mansion, 12 bedroom, 21 baths.
21 baths.
20,000 square feet.
Okay.
And I know it's a gorgeous piece. I mean, it basically just drops off. It's on a cliff.
Right, exactly.
Almost, isn't it?
Yeah.
That and then they did a $10 million renovation. And they're still far from finishing 7 years after. And the guy that owns Twinkies, or that's in charge of Twinkies,
mm-hmm. He's the one who purchased it.
Mm-hmm. Huh. He bought the mansion for $100 million in 2016.
Oh wow!
But
okay.
As you said, have continued to live there.
Mm-hmm.
He has been completely remodeling the huge estate since his additions, and will have floor space equivalent to 8 average American homes.
Now, going back to that other house, the one that you were talking about before. You're buying it for $500,000.
No.
But at the same time, you can't do any renovations to it. You have to buy it as is, where it is, with this person.
Right.
By the time 30 years is up, that house is going to be disgusting, completely out of date, and potentially not even livable.
Why are you assuming that?
Because it's a house for 30 years, and they don't have the ability to go in and do anything to it.
Yes, they do.
Oh, do they? Okay.
They just can't kick the person that's living there for $417 a month that's going to live there until they die.
Got it. Okay. So they can update the property if need be, but at the same time, are you going to want to do that? You know, I mean, this person's sitting here living on a pretty cheap...
No, that's
monthly,
that's why we're talking about this story. That person's never going to leave.
Yeah.
Why would you? You're paying $417 a month in rent.
Precisely.
You can just go out to the street corner and say, we'll work for food to make that.
Mm-hmm. Pretty easy.
I don't
know
what their utilities are.
And then some, I would guess.
You know, and then you don't have to pay, like, your insurance.
True.
Like, because the homeowner will be responsible for your insurance.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean.
It's a pretty sweet deal for whoever that person is. Not too shabby. Not too shabby at all.
I'd do that in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Hey, do you want to live in this house? Sure, I want to live there like until I die. How long do you think you're going to live? I don't know. Another 30 years so it should be good, and then I'll move into a home. All right, fine. You can move in $417 a month rent. Well, let me think about that. You know, you turn around. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay, I guess I'll do it. 417? Yeah. Okay. And we can get that in writing? Sure, my lawyers draw up something. Just make sure you take care of the property. Would you put any, like, fixing up to them? Because, all right, my pipe's busted. All right, that's all on you, dude. Please take care of this as soon as possible.
I would say that would have to be
and
on
then,
the
That would put
the
caveat
tenants.
In that.
Yeah.
And then if you don't get this done in X amount of time, we're done with this.
Right. I would say that would void the contract if you did not take care of that. Because all of that upkeep would have to be up to you as the renter in that sort of a situation. Otherwise, that's just way too much to take on at that point. It's like, you know, I don't want to say that I'm looking forward to you dying, but at the same time, I would kind of like to live in this house at some point in my life. That would be nice.
It's a pretty cool looking little house.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, you've got room for whatever's for the small garage. I mean, it's a tiny garage. This is an older house.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like, literally, it's one of those, like, you pull up to it and you're like, how did anybody fit a car in there? Or it's like that you only can drive a convertible.
Right.
Because that's the only way you're getting out of your car.
I gotcha. Yeah.
Is that you're pulling in the garage and you're Bo and Luke-ing it out of the car. Or that's the only way. Or you get a,
that's the only way to get in and out. 69
Charger or a little convertible.
Right.
Because you're sliding out of the side because you're not opening the doors for that at all.
No. Oh, that would be hard though, dude. I've lived in a place where my garage was super teeny tiny.
I lived in one of those too.
I never actually used it for my car just for that reason.
The house was so old the garage was a separate addition.
Mm-hmm.
And then laundry was out there. But I mean, just pulling in, I was like, I can't get out of here. I can't get out of here. Be right back.
Welcome back to the most exciting morning show in Tallahassee, The Greg Tisch Show, featuring Matty Rowe on Real Talk 93.3.
See any creepy crawlies around? Pick up the phone and call some Pauls. Dial these 7 digits on your phone. Yeah, gotta add in the area code. Then call Pauls right on the telly and pick up the numbers and dial 850. Well, it's 850-386 bugs, and they'll be by before 5 if you call them today before noon.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay.
I started off good, and then it just kind of straight downhill. See any creepy crawlies around the house? Call Paul's 850-386 bugs. Call them today before noon. They'll be out today before 5 p.m. That's Paul's Termite and Pest Control's same day treatment guarantee. Maddie, let me ask you a question here, and I would like your response, hence why I'm asking you.
Uh-huh. Bless you.
We're going on a picnic.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to the beach for the day.
I'm happy.
Okay. And so you have your picnic basket. You have your cooler.
Mm-hmm.
What's going in said cooler? How are you packing said cooler? One, you have to have your beverages of choice, whether you have your beers in there, anything non-glass containers.
Correct.
No glass
mm-hmm.
when you're going to the beach.
That's right.
So what else do you have in there? We have our hydration. We have our water. We have our beer. We have our sodas, juice boxes.
Yep.
What else is in said cooler for the picnic on the beach or at a picnic table right off the beach?
Well, inevitably, you're going to have some sort of food that is number one.
Hence the name picnic.
That's right. Okay. But you have to have food that is going to be less likely to get wet or soggy or be affected by moisture.
Or have gallon Ziploc bags to put said food in. If you have chips, if you have that stuff that can't be affected by moisture, gallon Ziploc bags.
Okay.
Put the stuff in there, your fruits.
Right.
I mean, well, you don't want your fruits just
floating around in the water.
So that you have them, gallon Ziploc bags are the way to go.
True. I would agree with that.
Okay. So we have our snacks. We have those protected from the water. What is our main course for the beach? And we're eating on the beach, not on a picnic table away from the beach. We're eating on the beach. What is your main food source? What is your main picnic thing? Because, I mean, you can't, seagulls are coming around because they're like, dude, these guys are eating.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good question. All right, so you either need to get like a pub sub from Publix, something like that is a good
one. Kind? There's your question, because you can't have one that's too messy.
That's true.
That you want it to be easy to eat, you want to have it on the beach and just be a little easier to do.
Well, my choice for that is always going to be a bacon turkey club.
Okay.
That's perfect for me. And then you get all the toppings that go along with that. And once you wrap that up and it's in the paper, it's okay. But the concern is still to be that moisture.
Because normally it's not good when if you leave it in the plastic bag,
it's soggy.
The water is going to get in there. Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you have your pub sub, and then you have. So I would have just a turkey.
Just turkey? Yeah. No bacon?
No. No.
Oh.
No. Turkey, because bacon gets not good when it's just been sitting around for a while. That's where it gets soggy, whether it's sitting around on anything. But your condiments are important also.
Right.
Because you don't want to load it up with mayonnaise and just have it sitting there. Even though it's in a cooler, I still wouldn't feel safe.
Right.
With mayonnaise. I think that I would just have a little mustard would you have some packets?
Probably. That would be a good thing to have. I think that would be beneficial. Yeah, I would say that's probably the best way to do it is with some packets, because then you don't have those extra extra bottles floating around, which is never fun, because inevitably that thing's going to get all in the way and be all gross and weird, and it'll get all sloppy and slimy, and
one of the things
you don't want it.
That many people attempt, and then it's either very successful, or you have a cooler just for your dry stuff,
mm-hmm.
and nothing, no ice or anything in there.
Right.
For the your subs or stuff. I know that some coolers that they have compartments. There's a new, it's either Igloo or Yeti, which is probably like a $600 cooler, or Arctic, which is probably a $200 cooler, same thing.
Right.
That they now have drawers in the bottom of them.
Okay.
So it still stays cool, but it's in the bottom and it's away from the ice. So you can put everything in the bottom, in these bottom drawers.
Right.
Which you're really not losing. It's taking a little space out, but are you really losing space because you have these drawers and it's able to keep everything nice and crisp? Because fried chicken is also another staple locally.
Right.
I feel at the beach. Watermelon, fried chicken, fruits. That's another good staple at the beach.
Mm-hmm.
But soggy fried chicken sucks.
I agree. It's not fun to enjoy that. It's the opposite of fun. It's kind of gross.
So I would have, yes, I would have the turkey sub. I would have I just still would have to get the fried chicken, because still eating it on the way down,
mm-hmm.
Because especially if you have it in, if you have an SUV or you don't have, even if you have a trunk in your vehicle, that wonderful smell of that fried chicken is going to warp into your car. And you're like, all right, somebody reach back there and give me the smallest piece back there. Just give me a drumstick. All right, give me another drumstick.
Right. And that's the best part of it. It's like, oh, this is so good. Reaching in there. It's like getting the bag fries from your burger. You got to have some sort of a piece of chicken as you're driving along. And I know that's not the safest thing in the whole wide world. Yesterday, as I was driving back in from Havana, I stopped off and got some chicken wings along the way. And they did not make it home in one piece. That's all I'm going to say.
And one of the things that doesn't count, what shouldn't ever count, is the 3-second rule. When you're at the beach and you drop something, there ain't no 3-second rule. It's gone.
No.
It's gone forever. Even if you're eating in the picnic area,
mm-hmm.
or you're eating on your back porch, or you're eating wherever down by the beach, once the food's dropped, there's no 3-second rule.
No,
it's done. But it's okay in the kitchen where you live, but yeah, it's done. You drop
exactly.
You drop that wing. You drop that piece of chicken. It's done. Just throw it off. That's where the seagulls can finally get that food.
Mine?
No, we had some stalkers on Friday.
Oh, did you?
So we brought in some chips, brought in some crisps, some almond crisp.
Okay.
They're almond crackers. They're
all right.
Really good.
Hmm.
But this one dude, he flew in. He saw us eating these potato chips and these almond crisp.
Right.
And he's like, I'm going to go and check these guys out and see what they're eating. And hung out there for the longest time. And I was like, don't look at the bird. Don't pay any attention to the bird.
Okay.
Because the bird is here for one thing, to look for you to drop something.
Exactly.
And then a couple other birds came flying by. And the one bird that was stalking us just started just squawking. Get away, get away. The other birds flew away. So apparently we had like one of the head seagulls right by, so nobody was going to come and mess. And I always forget every time. And there was nobody around us.
Mm-hmm.
I could have fed this bird.
Right.
But I never do. And it kept looking at me, kept walking around, literally walking around, just pacing,
mm-hmm.
waiting, knowing that if this cute little bird just stands there long enough in the wind, and when it wasn't facing the wind, the feathers ruffling up. And he's going, please, sir, I'm hungry. Please just give me a crisp, please. And I just looked at the bird, and it would walk a little closer. And then I would eat the crisp. And then I would show my hands. There's nothing in the hands. Eat the cheese ball also. Right. And go, there's nothing left. And never gave anything to the bird. And I felt so darn good.
Yeah.
When I finished that. Because that is, it is tough. Even though, do not feed the seagulls.
No. Bad idea.
It's always tough to not feed the seagulls.
Exactly.
So I was like, they walk up and you're like, hey, nobody will know. But if you feed one, they text each other.
Mm-hmm. They and send that out. We
all know after they text that they will all be on top of you.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be 40 of them within 5 seconds. And I don't know where the hell they come from. Because you won't see a seagull. You'll see pelicans everywhere. You'll see an osprey. You'll see an eagle. You'll see dolphin. But you won't see a ton of seagulls.
Right.
But once that call goes out, woof.
Mm-hmm. And you would think that they'd stay quiet, too. They're not going to call. If I had a whole bag of chips to myself.
Yeah, they're cool like that, man. They are so
they helping
cool
out, like huh? Ugh. I don't know about that. But I know somebody who is really excited about food, and that would be Chief Jones.
Food segment next. You know,
that's right.
Food segment.
Don't forget to write "I Want to Win" on the Greg Tisch Facebook page to qualify for the Florida Farm Bureau Insurance Wheel of Food. Greg Tisch. Call 850-386-8255. That's 850-386-TALK. Real talk, 93.3.
See any creepy crawlies around your house? Call Paul's.
He'll get them all.
Especially if they're driving you crazy. Call them today before noon. They'll be out today before 5 p.m. That's Paul's Termite and Pest Control. Same day treatment guaranteed.
Food segment. Food segment. Food. 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 Food segment.
I feel like I'm in the 90s in Miami. Wow.
This guy posted a brisket on X.
Okay.
And he's got it sliced up very thin.
Alrighty.
Nice smoke ring on it.
Sounds good. What's wrong with it?
It's not folding. It's the pieces are cut and they just look stiff as a board.
Oh no. Oh no.
And literally some of the people on here are going, Eric, I love you, man, but I don't think I would have posted that.
No.
That looks drier than Tatooine. Did you finish that off in your oven? Why did you overcook it? Yum, looks like you're having spaghetti.
That is the best passive-aggressive ever.
Can I use That's this in awesome. My fireplace?
It's a good fire starter now.
People in Texas are dying as they see this picture.
Mm-hmm.
You skipped church to make this?
Oh, man. It sounds like somebody needs some religion on that thing.
All of a sudden, everybody on this godforsaken app is a chef.
Aww.
Ignore the haters, Eric. It looks good to me.
Yeah.
Eric, how was your salad that you had for supper instead? I'll give a like on this one. Solid smoke ring. It does have a small solid smoke ring, but that thing looks hard as a rock.
Yeah, but you can also see the rings as to where you should have taken it off a long time ago. It's like a
I don't
trainer.
Know how he did this, but he didn't do it well.
No.
And again, I suck at briskets. I can't do a brisket.
There's again, art to it.
But again, this guy, he cut it way too thin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he cut it like roast beef thin.
Oh.
And again, it probably smells delicious, but the bark ain't there. It's like he didn't season it at all.
Weird.
He just threw it on there.
Mm.
Talk about things. All right, food segment. I'm going to talk about something that's super easy to make.
Yeah.
This is from Phoebe Evans at Southern Living.
Uh-oh. I'm already getting triggered here.
She can't screw this up.
You sure about that?
No kale. You can't screw this up.
All right, let's hear it.
This is something that if you're introducing somebody to cook or you've just had a long day and you just want to throw something together and throw it in the oven, not go to the grocery store, find stuff that you have, just make a nice casserole.
Because all right.
Cheese, just layer it with cheese.
Sure.
You're going to be great for dinner.
Absolutely. A good casserole is fantastic.
You got some cream of celery soup or some cream of broccoli soup, some broccoli in there, or cream of mushroom, and you got some cheese. You got a casserole.
Yeah.
Dump your broccoli in, dump your cream of whatever soup in, top it with cheese, throw it in the oven. Delicious.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of a no-brainer, really.
Here's the first one.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Kale, no. Cheese, broccoli, and rice casserole. Cheesy broccoli and rice casserole. Delicious.
Sounds good.
White rice, broccoli, cheese.
Done.
Done.
Mm-hmm.
Done.
Not a lot of protein, but done. But that's to make good side.
Good side.
Yeah.
Here's a good main. Chicken tortilla casserole.
All righty.
Even's got some tortilla chips, I guess, hence the name chicken tortilla casserole.
Sure.
Got some refried beans in there, obviously cheese, some corn, some scallions, your tortillas covering it,
right.
Cheese on top of your tortillas.
Hey, it's like an upside down nacho.
Yes.
You know, all the stuff is underneath the nachos.
Yes, and you can take one piece.
And just whoosh, yum.
King Ranch chicken casserole. I love a good chicken casserole.
Okay.
King Ranch is the ranch out in Texas. I think most people are familiar with King Ranch because they'll see them on the back of Fords.
Got it.
The okay. King Ranch edition.
Right.
Which King Ranch makes money off of every Ford sold with their name on it.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised at all. They're very happy
shredded
about that.
Shredded chicken, grated cheese, corn tortillas, spicy green chilies come together to create this Texas classic that's loved all across the South. Cowboy casserole. This is a casserole that if you're not familiar with cowboy casserole, you got your beans, your ground beef, your green chilies, cheese, and topped with tater tots. Put a little cheese
good.
On top of them tater tots. Let that cheese melt on down in them tater tots. I'm telling you, it's good.
Does sound tasty.
Cheesy sausage and croissant.
Cheesy
sausage and croissant.
Croissant.
Casserole.
All right.
Croissants on the top, sausage, cheese, everything down there the night before. A little cream of something down there.
See, I would have done the other way around. I think I would have done the other way around, taken the croissant rolls, smushed them down, and made that into like a base down on the underside, and then had the benefit of having the casserole stick together when you scooped it up. It would almost be like a pie.
Mm, this next one is my favorite, and I've been really dying for this. And
okay.
I want to make one so bad.
All right.
I only have it at Thanksgiving. I think the vast majority of us only have this old school squash casserole at Thanksgiving. But
that is good.
So super easy to make. So super easy to make. And oh, just the topping, even using the French onion on there on top. But use like a buttery, buttery club cracker.
Yep. I just went back in time about 40 years, and I'm sitting at my grandmother's table at Thanksgiving with that delicious squash casserole in front of me.
Mm.
And it was so freaking good. Just a little teeny tiny bit wet.
I don't need the cheese on there. Home style ground beef casserole.
Okay. It's already sounding good. Sounding almost like a beefaroni kind of thing. What goes in this?
Old fashioned. I'm skipping it.
Oh, it's old that fashioned, good, huh?
Apple and cheese casserole.
All right. So now we're starting
Don't
to get into those.
Don't be scared off by the apples and cheese in the same dish. Apple and cheese casserole is similar to an apple cobbler, but with a cheesy twist. No.
Yeah. No. I'm going to pass on that.
Yeah, I'm going to pass. Scalloped corn casserole. Okay.
That's always good.
Oh, geez. Okay. She did it. She did it.
What happened?
She did it. She got kale into here.
Oh, she did.
This is from Scalloped Corn Casserole. This recipe is so easy, you can make it with your eyes closed. Complete the meal with a kale salad for a nice balance.
Okay.
Beefy Nacho Casserole.
Beefy Nacho Casserole.
Here's one. We've all made this in our college age or at our first place. Tuna casserole.
Mm-hmm. I have had lots of tuna casserole in my life.
A staple of 18-year-olds everywhere.
Truth. Mm-hmm.
Easy taco casserole.
Which is also yummy. Mm,
cheeseburger casserole. Cheesy sausage egg and hash brown casserole.
Yum. I have not had a good breakfast casserole in a while.
Easy cauliflower casserole.
And you ruined it.
Sorry, guys. Be right back.
Live from the Grassroots Coffee Studios in the city of Tallahassee, it's the Greg Tish Show, featuring Matty Rowe behind the glass. Today's show is brought to you by Infinity of Tallahassee, Kraft Nissan, Foodies Takeout and Delivery, Paul's Termite and Pest Control, Hearth and Patio, and Southeast Portable Buildings. And now, you might think staying awake makes you tired. And it does. Greg Tish!
Good morning, Matino! Good morning, Tallahassee! Good morning, Apalachicola, Carrabelle, Thomasville, Somerset, and Cincinnati. Currently, it's hot in the capital city.
Already.
It's already 77 degrees. Ugh. Heat warning in effect today, noon to 7 p.m. Danielle!
Good morning, Greg Tish. Good morning, Maddie Rowe. More hot weather with the chance for scattered showers and storms to start off the week. Highs in the mid to upper 90s, but the heat index or feels like temperatures much higher. Today, a 50% chance of showers and storms, mostly sunny with a high of 98. I'll have your official weather forecast at the bottom of the hour.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah, hot. Thank you, Diane. Hot. Damn hot out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess hopefully if we get those afternoon thunder boomers in, that will be the saving grace for us. I mean, yesterday I was at the pool for an hour or so. Lots of people there.
Very nice.
I got to see lots of friends there.
Cool.
And just left and got home, and then boom, in the background. It's like, sweet, you know, perfectly sunny above my house.
Right.
But I was like, all right, something's coming. Leon County Sheriff's app let me know, hey, severe thunderstorm watch. And I was like, all right, sweet. We're going to get some good weather in here for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Not in my area.
Oh,
the
well.
Thunder boomers I was hearing was off in Quincy almost.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how far that sound was traveling across the lake and right. coming over. And I was like, okay, well, that stinks.
That's so weird because I didn't hear anything over on my side of town.
You were sleeping.
Yeah, I was sleeping, but that was in the morning. But then in the afternoon, I went out and saw the kitty cats, and I didn't see anything or hear anything. So I don't know. Maybe it was just a false thunder.
So hot, yeah, heat thunder?
Yeah, it's heat thunder.
Hot, hot, hot all week, but also afternoon thunderstorms in the forecast for like the next 2 weeks. And so...
we definitely need it, dude.
Yeah, but looking forward to July 4th next Thursday, or in two Thursdays, scattered thunderstorms, 50% chance of rain. But it's almost 50% chance of rain here on out.
Right.
It just, you know... how severe will this weather get in the afternoons? How
exactly.
How fast will these things build up? How, because with it being just hot, that these thunderclouds are going to be able to build up pretty quick. It's, and I'm fascinated by watching clouds out by the pool. I do what everybody does. Oh, look, there's a fox jumping over a wall. Oh, look, that one's giving you the bird. Oh, look, that looks like a... yeah, but
right.
but I just sit there. I just watch the clouds and then... but it's just amazing to me to watch the different levels of the clouds and how they interact, or how the sun just obliterates them.
Yeah.
That you'll have one there and all of a sudden the sun will start shining through and it's just gone.
Yeah.
It's just gone.
It's like, I didn't mean to get in the way. Sorry. Goodbye.
Just feed off that sun and you just see them growing, growing and growing and growing. Well, Sarah's happy. We'll talk about your sister's happy.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that in the next segment with the baseball scores, and we'll let you know why your sister's happy and I'm not.
I'm sure. I'm a little concerned because you are wearing an Orioles cap. So that either means that you're mocking me, because I don't know how the boys did.
Oh, I don't either.
Over the weekend.
I just matched better.
Ah, I got
you. I had the black that I'm wearing a German soccer jersey, and it matched my German soccer jersey.
Right.
I put thought into it, and that's why I have black shorts on, too.
Oh, okay.
Actually, even though we get to dress casual.
Are you doing that thing where you're like, well, this has some black in it, and this has some white in it, so if you put them together... it'll be perfect. And if I wear my Vans, that like just completely finishes off the outfit completely.
Yeah, I'm a Crocs guy now.
Brings
man.
It together.
I haven't worn my Vans in a couple months. I'm Crocs. Had to dress up this week. I went to brunch yesterday and it went bowling Saturday night. My finger is still swollen and hurting from bowling.
Uh-oh.
And that I every single time that my middle finger
that
it swells up because it just the ball. I
don't just get stuck at your middle finger, but you don't use your middle finger for bowling.
How the heck do you bowl?
Like Spider-Man, you put the ball like the holes go in the pointer finger and the pinky finger.
Yeah, you're not.
And you have the thumb finger.
You're not a good bowler, are you?
How are you doing like that? What the heck are you doing? How are you bowling that your middle finger is getting stuck in the hole?
Because you put your two middle fingers in the hole.
What?
Or you put these two fingers.
I usually put those two in. Not the.
You don't bowl much, do you?
I don't. Now I'm confused. How do I do that? Do you put the middle ones in there? Or the outside?
Hell, I just went bowling Saturday night.
And I know, and now I don't know. Now I don't remember. It's been a while.
Yeah, I think I put the middle ones in. But anyway, this one always messes up. And after the second round, and I was winning the entire match.
There's, right.
Four of us on ours, five of us on our lane, six on the other.
Mm-hmm.
And me and this guy Carlos, we were kind of having a friendly little battle. We started off good. I started off with a strike.
Tete-a-tete.
And then he started off with like a nine. Mm-hmm. And me and Carlos were kind of, you know, hey, oh, nice shot. But then deep down, like, I'm gonna best your score. I fell apart at the end. I didn't even finish first in my
lane. You couldn't
lane.
Keep it up, huh?
I got beat by one pin, and then Carlos ended up getting like 120. Not like we're doing like 210 to anything.
Right.
I was just like, hope I break 100.
Mm-hmm.
98.
Oh.
Started off strong. Then my fingers started hurting. And then, but I bowl fast pitch softball.
Mm-hmm.
That I remember going back, and we were over at the ones off Capitol, so Capitol Lanes.
Right.
And we were there, and, or it was the old Union, Crenshaw. Mm-hmm. And it used to give the speed of which you bowled. Or, hell, I don't remember which one it won. It could have been out of the four lanes that we had. Mm-hmm. And it gave you the speed. And these, like, professional league guys came over, man, you're throwing that rock really fast. And I'm like, huh? And he goes, yeah, that's, like, way above average. And I'm like, yeah. So I looked up, like, what the record was.
Right.
For, like, the hardest thrown ball.
Mm-hmm.
And not saying that I'm throwing hard, but I was throwing pretty damn hard.
Mm.
And then somebody had made that comment at brunch on Sunday. They're like, man, you are whipping that 15-pound rock down. And I was like, I said, yeah, I would love to get a 11 or 12-pound ball.
Right.
But to just for my fingers, because of my hands,
yeah.
I can't find the holes that are large enough.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'll have to have and I don't bowl enough to have a ball made. That I would love to have a 12 or 13-pound rock instead of a 14 or 15-er, because it's just, at the end of game two, you're going down and trying to throw that thing, and you're like, all right, is my shoulder going to make it? And I'd like to put the spin on the ball in the second game once I feel more comfortable, but spinning a 15-pound ball,
right,
getting that behind and just, yeah, I use my middle fingers.
Yeah. I guess so. I guess that you do. You take it like that, and then the other two are for support. It's not the other way around.
But I love bowling.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't do it. Don't do it enough. It's like how I used to play pool every single night for so long.
We should get on a league or something.
Of what?
Bowling.
No, because that would require commitment. Something I'm not good at. Thanks, Ray. Ray just called me Big Greg McCracken. But Ernie.
Yeah.
Kingpin.
Mm-hmm. I got it.
I got the hair.
Yes, you do.
I got the hair.
You just do the comb over? But you don't have anything. You have plenty of hair to comb.
Yeah, I'm not combing over.
You don't have to comb over.
Yeah, I don't have a bald spot.
Having a part.
Yeah, I just got a lot of hair. I got to get it cut this week.
Yes, you do.
Maybe. Maybe. Be right back.
We'll be right back with the Greg Tisch Show on Tallahassee's Real Talk Station. Real Talk 93.3.
Lunch.
Welcome back to the Greg Tisch Show on Real Talk 93.3.
From a 4x8 to a 40x80, Southeast Portable Buildings has you covered. Give them a call today, 850-580-6400, or online, southeastportablebuildings.com. Let's take a look at the Major League action and yesterday's games. It was the Cubbies and the Metropolitans playing in the friendly confines of Wrigley Field, with the Metropolitans besting the Cubs 5-2 as the Twins over the A's 3-0 as the Athletics managed three hits in their loss. Nationals and Rockies played. Nationals in a squeaker, 2-1 over the Rocks. Rangers blanked the Royals. Royals 2-hit in their 4-0 loss to the Rangers. Giants over the Cardinals, 5-3. Giants on a little bit of a losing streak right now. Astros, Orioles, come back to that one. It was the Mariners down by the Marlins, 6-4 in Miami. We'll take a look at that box score in a minute also. Tigers all over the Shy Sox, 11-2.
Well done.
Tigers improved to 36-41 on the season. White Sox, 21-58. Guardians over the Blue Jays, 6-5. Red Sox over the Reds in the Battle of the Red Stockings, 7-4. Braves over the Yankees in the Bronx, 3-1. Buccos down by the Rays in PNC Park, 3-1. Game started off with a bang with the Rays in the homer, right? First pitch of the game.
Wow.
Phillies over the Diamondbacks, 4-1. Padres do not complete the sweep against the Brew Crew. Lose yesterday's game with the Brewers getting 14 hits in Petco Park with the Vernons in attendance, 6-2. Astros, they won their fifth in a row, beating the Orioles.
Oh, no.
8-1. Orioles on a three-game losing streak.
Well, that sucks.
Let's take a look at the Mariners and Marlins box score. Let's see what they said the attendance was, 13,000.
Think it was actually that?
Let me look at some video. I don't think so. Let me look at some video.
Let's see.
There's a... Oh, no, that's a ground ball, so not going to show... Oh, yeah, lots of empty seats down in Lone Depot Park.
Well, it's hot out there.
It's a dome stadium, dude.
Still.
It's a dome stadium, dude.
They don't turn the air conditioning on.
Yes, they do. It's like this temperature. I would love to see Lone Depot's, what their air conditioning bill is.
Probably be pretty nice if it's the same way it is in here.
Yeah.
No, I'd be like, ooh, this is very nice.
There wasn't 13,000 people there. Looking at the standings in the National League West, Los Angeles Dodgers hold an 8.5 game lead over the San Diego Padres. Dodgers 6-4 in their last 10, 9.5 over the Diamondbacks. The Giants lost 5 in a row. They are now 11.5 back in the NL East. Phillies 5-5 in their last 10. They are 51-26 on the season. Hold a 7-game lead over the Atlanta Braves. With the Braves 8-2 in their last 10. Played some hot ball right now in Atlanta.
Hot ball.
43-32. They have a 5.5 game lead in the wild card. National League Central, even though Brew Crew lost 3-4 in San Diego, last 10, 5-5. They are 5 games up on the St. Louis Cardinals. Cardinals also in the wild card with a 1-game lead in the wild card. Cardinals 39-37 on the season. In the AL East, Matty, still a game and a half back. Nothing's changed. But the Yankees 3-7 in their last 10.
Oh, good.
But the Orioles 4-6.
Yeah.
Orioles on a 3-game skid. Yankees losing to the Braves yesterday on the 1-game skid. They hold a 9-game lead over the Boston Red Sox. The Yankees do. In the AL Central, three teams above 500. Cleveland Guardians have a 7.5 game lead over the Minnesota Twins. Kansas City Royals in third place, 42-37 on the season. In the AL West, the Seattle Mariners hold a 6-game lead over the Houston Astros. In the West, Seattle is the only team above 500. Worst team right now, 21-58. Your Chicago White Sox.
Ouch.
With the Rockies and the Miami Marlins, both with 27 losses, coming in as the second worst team. The A's, actually not. 29-51 for the A's. Still in last place, still 16 games out, but not the worst. Thank God for Chicago. Chicago 4-6 in their last 10. Matt, can you name, there are two major league franchises that names don't end in an S.
Two that do not end in S. I was going to say the Blue Jays, but that's an S. So your Guardians, that's also an S. I don't know. What are they?
If you
the
know.
The Mets? No, that's...
If you know which two major league teams don't end in an S, call Matt right now, 850-386-8255. He'll give you a Jeremiah's gift card.
Now, I do have a question for you.
850-386-8255. Tell Matt what two teams' mascots or nicknames don't end in an S in Major League Baseball. Matt will give you a Jeremiah's Italian Ice gift card.
Ooh, on the fly. Now, quick question. When you have a stadium that is like a dome, a covered dome.
Right, that's what usually your domes are covered.
But your team is not so great and you're not getting the crowds in.
Miami.
Do they pipe in like crowd sounds? They do.
Miami does pipe in crowd noise.
Oh, boy.
It's ridiculous.
That's pretty sad. It's like, who is cheering?
I have video of it.
Oh, man.
And Lone Depot Park. I was like, what? It's, the graphics make some noise. And then there's cheering. I was like, there's nobody cheering. Where is this coming from? Let me look. Nope. Nobody's sitting in the upper deck because they have that close off. Nope. Right. Nobody's anywhere. Yes. They pipe in crowd noises.
Wow. That's sad.
Yeah.
It's necessary, legal. I guess, if you're on TV and you don't want like people to realize
nobody's watching. Nobody's like, hey, do you want to go to the beach and watch the Marlins play? Yeah, let's do that. Hey, do you want to do anything else?
Mm-hmm.
So there are two teams whose nicknames don't end in S. If you can name them, Matt will give you a Jeremiah's Italian Ice gift card. Matt was thinking.
I still don't know. I'm still trying to think of what they would be.
I saw there's some guys that they're quizzed.
Danger Oiler.
And that they do quizzes and they have to, like, there'll be silhouettes of an NCAA school and they have to guess the school. And I got pretty good at it. But yesterday, one of them that ticked me off, it didn't tick me off, it's just they're like, who plays in this park?
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was like, it said Camden Yards.
Right.
And the guy just instantly said, oh, Baltimore Orioles. It's like the Baltimore Orioles do not play in Camden Yards.
Mm-hmm.
They play at Oriole Park at Camden Yards.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I speaking with?
Good morning, Mr. Greg. This is Michael.
Michael, all right.
Michael.
For Jeremiah's Italian Ice gift card, tell Matt what two teams in the major leagues whose nickname does not end in an S.
Well, Matt, they both have colors. That would be the White Sox and the Red Sox.
Boom.
Ah, that makes a little more sense.
White Sox, Red Sox. But if we did the NBA, but that see, that's a little
not,
tougher.
That's not fair, though, because
why?
S-O-X.
I would know that one.
But it sounds like it would be S-O-C-K-S.
But it's S-O-X.
I understand that.
Right.
So but it's not sounds an like S. there's an S on the end of
but there's
right
not.
All right, fine.
He wins. No, that's,
I know. It good job, Michael.
It wasn't trying to go against you.
No, no.
It's just I'm just asking you trivia. Hang on the line, Michael.
Yeah.
Thanks for playing. Thanks for listening. Thanks for knowing that. Yeah, but if you did the NBA, they had another one. They named the NBA teams. I was like, the Jazz?
I don't know.
The Wild? I just couldn't.
This is WNBA, D.
WNBA. I think most of them.
Yeah.
Because you got like, what, the Good Sky, night. The Fever?
Yeah. Most of them don't end in an S.
But with the NBA teams.
Yeah.
Let's see, that don't end in an S.
They pretty much all do.
No, no, no. You got the Jazz.
Yeah.
You got the Wild. Is the Wild, are they a real?
I don't think the Wild is a real basketball team, is it?
It could be. That could be a hockey
a new
team.
NBA team?
That could be a hockey team.
I've never heard of the Wild before.
It's the Minnesota Wild, but I think they're hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Well, two teams that don't end in S play in Florida in the NBA.
In the NBA?
Mm-hmm.
Magic?
Mm-hmm.
And the Heat?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess. Okay.
Yep. And the Jazz.
So it's not that hard. But Jazz isn't in Florida. That's...
No, no, no. It's NBA teams that don't end in an S.
Yeah. All right.
And there's one more, Oklahoma City.
I don't know what that is. I don't know what
it's Oklahoma a city in Oklahoma.
Well, I know what that is. I don't know what their mascot is.
I'm singing a song. It's like
rain.
Well, what comes with rain?
The ironics.
You got to knock on wood. You better
knock.
It's like
the thunder. The thunder. That's it. That's it. Okay. Oh, that was hard just to get to that point.
I was like, that.
Dadgum.
I knew you would get the song. I wasn't singing it well.
Yeah. Well, I thought you were doing Alanis Morissette at first. I was like, it's like rain on your wedding day?
Oh, that's what you got?
Yeah. It was like, oh, okay.
Be right back. When we met that summer.
We define local radio because Merriam-Webster hasn't added it to their dumb word book yet. It's the Greg Tisch Show on Real Talk 93.3.
Matt, people are out here calling out things that they think are overrated, and they're tired of being told that they are amazing.
Okay. I'm wondering what these things may be and why people are so tired of them.
It's safe to say there are plenty of things that don't live up to the hype. No matter how much people try to convince you otherwise, recently, a Redditor, asked the Reddit community to share things. They're sick of people trying to convince them they're great. No order.
Okay.
Turning my hobby into a business. I crochet for fun because it relaxes me. If you add in trying to figure out how much to charge for a project, dealing with people being unhappy with a high price and then having to finish projects in a certain amount of time, it's no longer fun.
That's true.
A blanket might take me 2 weeks or 5 years. A small stuffed animal take me 24 hours or a month. I do it for me, not to make money or hustle.
Yeah, exactly.
There's one I think we can all agree with in the South. This person was is in Britain, in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Hot weather. Honestly hate nothing more than sweating just by standing somewhere, let alone walking in the heat. As for sleeping at night, don't get me started. Here in the UK, everyone can't wait for summer. I mean, then it means everyone moans that it's too hot as we melt away in our beds at night.
Well, that's the other side of it.
Not a lot of conditioned air over there.
No, there's not. And that's part of the problem is that it is just ungodly hot in the summertime in England. It's not a fun place to be.
One, I follow this guy. I can't remember his name, but he's absolutely hilarious. And he does southern things. He's that he'll have conversations with different grocery stores or different chains. Like one will be Dollar General, the other be Dollar Tree, Family Dollar. He'll have conversations about other stuff. And one he did the other day was it was mugs.
Like
your cooling mugs, your fancy mugs.
Right.
And one was like I have that everybody loved a few years ago.
Another the Nalgene.
Another was a Yeti cup. Another was a Stanley cup. Another was just a cheap cup. And then so he's going around going, and the Stanley cup was like, everybody's starting not to like me. And the Yeti cup's like, yeah, get used to it. And the Nalgene's going, yeah, been there, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but this one's Stanley cups.
Yep.
I work in an elementary school and all these kids carrying these big blanking Stanley cups and they keep dropping it constantly. The parents want it, not the kid. Goes about with every fad. My $13 Walmart insulated cup also keeps stuff cold for hours and hot drinks hot.
Yes, it does. And that is a weird one to have as a popular thing.
Five of those just because, not for me, just because they're fatty.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they will go, something old or new will pop up because Stanley, that's not new.
Right.
They've had their cups along for years, but sure. Yeti was the thing to do. I bought a Yeti Whataburger cup.
Mm-hmm.
But before Whataburger had hooked up with Yeti, they sold a different cup.
Right.
And that keeps my ice just as cold as the Yeti one that disappeared somehow. That's true. I don't know. I have no idea what happened to it.
When the Coleman thermos comes back into play, I am going to be the popularest guy in the station. That's about as far as it goes.
How's that cliff you just fell off? Running. Running. I'm happy that some enjoy it, but I don't. It's not like I didn't try running. It's just not great for me. I find other sports activities more enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. Running is not fun.
Well.
Running is painful. Running is...
But we have friends that are just... I think I found that serious runners are like serious pickleball players. Oh, I think they're the same people.
They probably are.
They're ruining it for everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. You can run a mile.
I have heard people say that at some point you get what's called a runner's high. I have never gotten that.
I'm trying.
Never, ever, ever. In fact, the high that I get is when I'm finished. And I'm like, oh, I'm done? Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah, well, that's a great feeling you're finished with that. Yeah, but like the professional runners, not the hardcore runners.
Right.
And the hardcore pickleball players.
Yeah.
They're ruining it for everybody
else. We know both
else.
Of those people, though. It's like,
oh, no, because they're the same person. It just hit me.
Yeah.
They're the same exact person.
Yeah, they're running the pickleball. They're pickleballing
the run. But you can't say anything about it because they'll come down on you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I'm like, great, so you're good at running and pickleball. Can I just come and jog a little bit, or can I just come and play? I'm not good at either.
Yeah.
But I enjoy them.
Mm-hmm.
Quitting the corporate world to start a business. I like my little peaceful job. Some are not meant to be business owners, and I feel like I'm one of them.
That is one of those things. Like, I would love to own my own business, before, but it's a pain in the butt.
It's a headache. Mm-hmm. It's a headache because there's no weekend. There's no time off because your assistant's constantly calling you.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we got this problem. No, you have a problem. It's nice to be off the clock when you leave. My dad owns an 11-employee small business.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have off the clock.
Yeah.
A wedding. I'm getting married soon and really sick of people telling me that I want a real wedding. I don't want a $10,000 plus wedding. Well, that's an inexpensive wedding.
Yeah, no kidding.
We want to go to the courthouse and have a party later.
Please
Amen.
Do.
The number of people telling me I'll regret not having a big wedding is wild. Whether we spend $100 or $30,000, we love each other the same. Exactly. Whenever we talk about it, someone has to say something dumb about how we need a nice wedding. I want a courthouse wedding, damn it.
Mm-hmm. A courthouse wedding would be a nice wedding for me. I don't want to have all the pomp and circumstance, everything that goes along with a wedding. It's just not fun.
Kombucha.
At a wedding?
No. I'm going on to the next one. Kombucha. I'm sure it's great for me, but it tastes like carbonated socks. Kombucha is one of the worst drinks I've ever tasted.
Really does.
Right next to IPAs. It literally tastes like carbonated vinegar.
Yeah, it's not good. I mean, it's got great health benefits, but it is not something that I seek out.
No. Mm-mm. Nope. Number 8, ice baths.
Ice baths are good for you, though. Again, it's one of those things that you're in it and you're like, I can't wait to get out of this thing. And then you get out and you shiver and you shake for 15 minutes until you feel like you're relatively normal again. But it does help you. There are lots of health benefits that go along with them.
Yeah, you tell me how they are, and you do a video. I'll watch your video.
Yeah.
Number 10, cruises. Just stop. Mm. I never want to go on a cruise on a commercial cruise line.
Yeah. They're definitely not as much fun as you would think they are. The Love Boat put so much on cruises and made it seem like it was going to be an incredible thing. Not so much. No. I've been on a couple of cruises, and I did not like them.
I've been on one.
Mm-hmm. I've been on two. And they were, of the two that I went on,
not enjoyable. I want to do Alaska.
I think that would be a lot of fun.
One of my grandmothers did that trip several times.
Mm-hmm.
And she loved it.
Yeah, if you had like the balcony, the private balcony and like the two-bedroom suite, then I think it would be pretty nice. Because you'd have a space that you could get away to.
Yeah, I'd like
you could sit out on your balcony and just enjoy the world go by.
Next one. Drinking. Mm-hmm. I work in a restaurant. I can't go out with my coworkers without at least three of them shoving a shot of tequila in my face.
Yep.
I've never understood the appeal of having my next day blanking stink just for a few hours of being completely unhinged.
Yep. And everybody else knows because you smell like tequila. So, I don't know. I mean, I've had that time in my life where I did that. I don't do that anymore.
Me either.
And it's been a long time since I've done anything like that before.
What am I at? 5 months?
Mm-hmm.
But going out and going crazy, I haven't done in a while.
No, not at all.
What am I?
I haven't drank at home or anything.
I haven't had a drink in 161 days.
Good on
you,
man.
So 5 months, 9 days.
That's awesome.
But I haven't also gone out and super partied in a few years.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, and then was the thing, and because the first time we did the experiment with no alcohol, no caffeine, no red meat, or no meat, period, we did a thing because I thought I could not spend at least $1,200 a month on quitting all these things.
Right.
And I just did them all at once. And we ended up saving, $1,500, $1,600 a month on this?
Something like that.
So with the 5 months and 9 days of alcohol, let me see, savings... I have saved $3,864.
Well done.
I have not spent on alcohol.
Correct.
Because I found other things.
Yeah.
Dancing. Every woman I date is super insistent that they would be the ones that get me out of my shell and make me less self-conscious. None of them listen to the reason I give. I just don't feel music like that. If I can feel it deeply, it can change my mood, but it never makes me feel like dancing. Maybe a head bop and a few pump-up feelings, but I've never once danced by myself when I'm alone. I have no reservations about dancing other than the fact that everyone thinks they're doing me a favor by pulling me on the dance floor so I can fake something that feels very unnatural for a few songs.
Yeah, I can see that.
Foods made out of cauliflower. Have you had cauliflower? Pizza crust, rice, or any food where cauliflower is a replacement for something else? It tastes like the real thing. No, it doesn't. It sucks. Stop with the cauliflower.
Yeah. I think that the cauliflower craze is about done, unfortunately.
I'm tired of people trying to convince me that working excessively long hours is the key to success. The hustle culture that glorifies overworking and equates it with dedication and achievement is something I find problematic. Number 20, Crocs.
I'm sorry, what was that one?
Crocs. I think of them as a necessary evil. They're absolutely hideous, but I can mow my backyard without fear of stepping in hidden dog crap, because if I do, I spray them down with a water hose. And again, I'm 5 months in on this Croc train.
Right.
And I know I'm late on it, but that's all I wear now, man. And I cleaned them off in the sink the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Just took some Dawn Power Wash.
Yep.
back to new. I love them. I hate them and I love them. Be right back.
Time to refill that coffee. We'll be right back with the Greg Tisch Show on Real Talk 93.3. Rowe just turned on the on-air sign. That means Greg Tisch is going to say something funny. No pressure.
Apparently there was pleasure. What are you doing?
What do you call a sexy flying monkey?
Oh, good Lord.
A hot air baboon.
All right. That's pretty good.
I've opened a gym where all the instructors go from door to door to tell people about the benefits of joining it.
Okay.
It's called Jehovah's Fitness.
Jehovah's Fitness. The Rock of Gibraltar.
I went out to eat over the weekend.
Uh-huh.
And so the waiter came up and the server came up. And they're like, how would you like your steak, sir? And I said, just like winning an argument with my girlfriend. And he went, rare it is.
I was going to say non-existent? Are you going vegetarian
one,
or something?
This one I love.
Okay.
A man walks into a zoo. The only animal there was a dog.
Okay.
It was a shih tzu.
Aw, poor puppy.
My wife says that I wasted money by ordering a 3-meter wide frame, a 3-foot wide frame for our wedding photo.
Okay.
I think she should look at the bigger picture.
Sure. Absolutely.
I was at a bar yesterday. Mm-hmm. And some bacon and some eggs walked into the bar.
All right.
Bartender looks at them and goes, sorry, we don't serve breakfast.
Aw. It's too bad.
This one's cute.
All right. Let's
I was abducted by aliens.
You were.
They made me wash my hands, clean my room, and eat my vegetables. Turns out I was on the mothership.
Wah, wah. That's pretty good, actually. I like
my
that.
Wife gave birth in our car on the way to the hospital.
Ooh.
I got to name the kid. Carson. And?
Carson. Ha! That's a good one, too.
Today, I had someone knock on my door asking for small donations towards the local swimming pool.
All right.
Gave him a glass of water.
That works. Hope this helps.
My coworker just called me while I was in a meeting. He said he wants to change his name to Spinal Column.
To Spinal Column.
Mm-hmm. I said, I'm busy right now, so I'll call you back.
Funny.
Told the waitress my coffee tasted like mud.
All right.
She said it should. It was fresh ground this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Walking home last night, I passed a slice of apple pie, a hot fudge sundae, and a lemon cheesecake.
Yum.
And I thought to myself, boy, the streets are strangely deserted tonight. I ran into a lamppost this weekend.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
You okay?
Yeah, luckily I only sustained light injuries.
Oh.
70-year-old woman has made history as the oldest contestant to compete in the Miss Texas USA pageant.
Okay.
Though she didn't take home the crown, Marissa Tejejo joined other contestants competing in the pageant over the weekend in Houston. Ariana Ware, last year's Miss Dallas winner, was named Miss Texas USA on Saturday. She will represent Texas in the Miss USA competition.
All right.
The Miss Universe organization recently changed its rules to be more inclusive by removing age limits for contestants over 18 and allowing women who are married, divorced, or pregnant. Tejejo of El Paso said in an Instagram post she was excited to compete and hope it would inspire women to strive to be their best physical and mental self and believe that beauty is in any age.
Wow.
The Miss Universe organization has been embroiled in controversy since Neola Voigt announced her resignation on May 6. Mm. Voigt, 24, said in an Instagram statement she was stepping away to focus on her mental health. But days later, NBC News obtained a copy of Voigt's resignation letter, which she accused the pageant CEO, Layla Rose, of creating a toxic work environment and failing to address a sexual harassment incident.
Ooh.
Rose released a statement that she takes all allegations seriously and that the well-being of individuals associated with Miss USA is my top priority. After she relinquished her title, Miss Teen USA, Uma Sofia, not even going to try, stepped down as Miss USA's social media manager. Miss USA Savannah Gankiewicz of Hawaii was crowned the new Miss USA 2023 in place of Voight, who will hold the position until August when a new winner is announced. Stephanie Skinner, Miss Teen USA runner-up, was offered the crown following the long last name's resignation, but she declined to accept it.
She said no.
Thanks, but no thanks.
So are we without a crowned princess? I'm going
back to this 71-year-old. Other than her hands, I would not be able to tell that this woman was 71. I would think maybe 55, 60,
yeah,
somewhere in there. But other than her hands that look like 71-year-old hands, she doesn't even have that neck.
Right. Yeah, she doesn't have the sort of like older leathery neck thing that happens a lot of times.
Matt Rogers at MagicFL.com.
As people get older, not ladies, just in general.
Matt Rogers at MagicFL.com. She didn't have that turkey neck.
Yeah.
Clearly work done on her. She was Miss Paso del Norte, USA.
Paso del Prime? Sorry. That was terrible.
That's great. So she was out representing women of all shapes, ages, and races.
Yeah. Well, good on her, man. I mean, if you have the ability to do something like that, more power to you. And there are people in this world who look amazingly good for their age. My dad is one of them. My dad does not look a year over 70, but he's 84 years old. And I have people in my own life who look phenomenally good. I am not one of them. I did not age. I aged like milk. I did not age very well at all. I look at some of my other people that I went to school with, and I'm like, wow, they look like young whippersnappers, and I look like I should be telling them to get off my lawn. But, I mean, if you have that ability, go for it. Oof. You know? I wouldn't mind that at all. I mean, and technically, parts of her are teenaged, so it's okay. It works. She can still go as a miss. Who cares?
So. And what's kind of stinks with this is, like, Miss Texas USA, that the woman that was crowned this,
right,
worked her butt off.
Yeah.
For all this. And so I just looked up Miss Texas USA to see who won the pageant.
Right.
I can't find anything on her because it's all about the 71-year-old.
Oh, man.
It's all about Marissa.
Yeah.
She has stolen the spotlight.
So she has sort of inadvertently stolen the tiara from the actual winner. You know? She's there. She's celebrating. You know? It's hip to be 71.
That's so. Miss Teen. Jeez. Let's see.
So she's obviously not Miss Teen.
No. They were just showing the Miss Teen. I'm looking at her outfit going, jeez. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the hell that is. There's not much there. That cannot be the Miss. Oh, that's okay. Miss USA. That's not the Teen.
Got it. All right.
Be right back.
Live from the Grassroots Coffee Studios in the city of Tallahassee, it's the Greg Tish Show, featuring Matty Rowe behind the glass. Today's show is brought to you by Paul's Termite and Pest Control, Hearth and Patio, Southeast Portable Buildings, Infinity of Tallahassee, Kraft Nissan, Foodies Takeout and Delivery, and of course, Delicious Grassroots Coffee. And now, I can tell by the position of his hand over his heart that Bill Eichhoffer has a little something he'd like to get off his chest. It's at your service. Only on the Greg Tish Show.
Good morning, Bill.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Hope your weekend was good.
It was yard work.
Oh yeah. You've been doing a lot of that.
Yeah, I still haven't got all of it clean. My house took a direct hit from the tornado, so it didn't hurt the house, but it knocked down 9 trees. and I'm still cleaning up.
So if you need firewood, go over to Bill's house.
And Maddie's a great helper too, right?
Of course.
I'm going to take Maddie out to lunch today, and then right after that, I'll send him over so he can work the food off.
That works for me.
Not sure. Good. As you do each week, you get to introduce our guests, and our next guest is no stranger to our program. Been in many, many times before, but you get to do the introductions.
All right.
That's the one thing that we look forward to hearing each week.
I pledge allegiance. Where did these words come from? Have you ever wondered? I mean, it's a part of our lives. We do this at so many different places in the country, but where did they come from? Who wrote it? Why did he write it? Well, today we're going to get maybe some answers to that.
Maybe.
He is a Freemason, and his name is Francis Bellamy. And who better to tell his story but a member of the Bellamy family? And today, thank you for coming, David Bellamy.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm just continuing to try to ride the nepotism train. whatever attention I can get.
Yeah, I've known you for a while, and I had no idea. And I was trying to figure out the connection. Obviously, it has with Bellamy and your last name, Bellamy. I was like, all right, is this his great-great-great-grandfather? Is this his great-great-great-uncle? But who was the author of the Pledge of Allegiance to you?
So Francis Bellamy was probably the uncle to my great-grandfather, my great-grandfather being the professor that the Bellamy Building's named after at FSU. He was a sociologist. And Francis Bellamy was probably...
I didn't know that either. Learning.
The nepotism train continues for a poor boy adopted out of Kentucky.
Well, where do you wish to begin?
Well, it's the end of the 1800s, and there's still bad feelings about the Civil War, obviously. I mean, we're only 20 years away from the Civil War. And there's this push to try to bring together some national unity. One guy, a Captain Balch in the Army, tries to put together a pledge to the nation. His pledge goes along the lines of, we give our heads and our hearts to God and our country, one language, one flag. And it didn't really catch on. Well, there's this periodical called Youth's Companion that is almost sounds like a family's Reader's Digest.
Yeah, and it was Boys' Life popped into my head.
Something like that. But apparently it had articles in it for adults. It had articles in it for kids, crossword puzzles. It just sort of appealed to the whole family. The company that produces this makes a push to get flags at every school in America. And this is before that was a thing. It's hard to imagine now any government building or school not having a flag. Back then they didn't. So for about 3 or 4 years, they have this giant push to get flags everywhere. And by about 1892, they've gotten about 26,000 flags to different schools. But they decide to have a big push to get a flag at every school. And they decide to incorporate it with a pledge to the flag. And they're going to use the 400th anniversary of Columbus discovering America as the jumping off point. So Francis Bellamy works for Youth's Companion, and his boss says, you know, why don't you write it? You got a better way with words. So he is actually a Baptist or Presbyterian minister who's a big socialist, but he still believes in unity for the country. And sits down and in 2 hours puts together the pledge one night. And he writes it, I pledge allegiance to my flag and the republic for which it stands, one nation indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And
was equality in the first draft, or that came and went, I think, in the second draft, or was for with liberty, justice, and equality for all? And so, let's get that equality out. But I don't think that was with Francis.
I don't think so. Francis's version stayed for quite a while, till about 1923 or so. He did add to the Republic because he thought that it flowed a little bit better. Mm-hmm. But he left out things like he was tempted to use some socialist terms, fraternity for all, that sort of thing, but really veered away from it. He was trying to make something that was good for everybody. And October 12th, 1892, it was said for the first time. They got a big push from the government. He politicked governors, legislators, even the president to try to push this pledge. And so on October 12th, 1892, it said for the first time in mass unity across the United States. It stays that way for a few years. And then in 1923, there's a flag conference. I guess the Daughters of the American Revolution would put on these flag conferences. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you do at a flag conference. Doesn't sound riveting. But nevertheless, they did. And they felt like we should change this to my flag, from my flag to the flag of the United States. One thing that they were trying to push in this time was letting immigrants know you were part of America. This is your country. And so they were a little afraid. They said, my flag, immigrant children may be confused what flag they were pledging allegiance to. So they added a flag of the United States and about a year later said of America to it. The next big change everybody knows about is the under God change.
Because that wasn't in at first.
That was not. And that's another interesting. Mm-hmm. Here you got a minister writing the pledge and a socialist. And he's going out of his way, it looks like, to keep these terms out that could that might be a little inflammatory.
Wasn't that around McCarthyism?
So 52. It starts in like 48 when there's a lawyer in Illinois who thinks we ought to add under God. And he feels like in some ways it's not so much the our God or a Jesus God. It was more of a religion. Being under God is what defines, it's a definitive aspect of this country. Mm-hmm. This is his opinion back in, 1948. And apparently, in the Gettysburg Address, Lincoln ad-libs under God at one point, trying to make a point about the country. If you find the Gettysburg Address, the written version of it before, he says it doesn't have it. But if you find any transcript or any article written about it by somebody that was there, he throws it in. And so he thought, this lawyer from Illinois thought this would be a good addition to it. And he starts pushing it. And people start saying it was under God, even though it hasn't been officially recognized by the government. And then Knights of Columbus got into it, and they start pushing it. And I guess there's a church service one year that they're holding, and President Eisenhower is there. He's a recent convert to Christianity, I think, if I remember this correctly. And I think they're sitting in the same pews where Lincoln sat in a national church. And it kind of comes to him, too, that maybe under God is something that separates us, makes us that is the definitive difference in America is we're under God. And you can argue whether that's true or not, but that's what he thought. And so in 1952 or 54, they finally got it officially changed to add that. Also, it's a little to do with the Cold War. The thought was that God is with us.
That's what I brought up.
The communists are an atheist group. God is not with them. Yeah. We are one nation under God.
Bill Eichhoffer, David Bellamy, and we're talking about his great-great-uncle, the author of the Pledge of Allegiance. Be right back.
More of the Greg Tisch Show after this short break. Live from the Grassroots Coffee Studios. Real conversations with people who make a difference. Yeah. It's the Greg Tisch Show on Real Talk 93.3.
Bill Eichhoffer. Dave Bellamy in studio. Now, us, we could screw up a little bit in elementary school on the Pledge of Allegiance. Forget a word here or there.
Sure.
But you couldn't.
Oh, yeah.
No, they'd David, come after I mean, you,
yeah,
David.
You screwing up on the Pledge of Allegiance. Or when did you know that this, was this always something that that you were taught as a little kid, hey, this is our family member that helped write this, that wrote the first version of this?
I don't think I knew till I was about 25, and my dad just mentions off the cuff. You know who Francis Bellamy is, don't you? So, I feel the need now when I say it to revert back to the very original one, but, it just gets me off cadence with everything.
Right, and I was thinking about how you talked about the Daughters of the American Revolution and their flag conferences they used to have.
His American Legion also was working with them
with
on
the
that.
Flag conferences. They used to have a comedian that opened up the conferences.
Yeah.
Had everyone in stitches.
Whack. Oh, goodness.
So a good funny story about it is where you put your hand for the pledge. Mm-hmm. So initially, Francis Bellamy envisioned starting out with a salute. And then when you said, to my flag, so I pledge allegiance, you've got a salute, to my flag, you would hold your arm out, elbow straight, right arm, palm up, like you're reaching towards the flag. So you've got these kids with their shoulder, you know, standing straight, your shoulder up, elbow extended, palm up facing the flag. Works out great.
Until about 1938.
Yeah.
at that point,
those of you,
wait a second.
World War II fanatics may remember a mustachioed evil fella who comes up with a similar salute. So real quick, they figure out, we can't have all these kids doing this in elementary school. It was a bad look. I've seen some pictures of it. It's not good. And so that same flag conference, I think in 42, where they changed some of the wording, they that is when they say, okay, here's going to be what we do. You put your hand over your heart, military guys salute during it. But it was a funny picture seeing these kids given this salute.
Thank goodness for a hand over your heart.
Yeah, you know, when we went to break, you mentioned indivisible. That was a big deal. Again, this is 20 years after the Civil War. This is fresh on people's mind. I mean, think of all the Vietnam movies in the 80s and 90s. That's where they were. They're just 20 years out. And he thought that we need to do something that shows we're indivisible. The other thing, as I mentioned, he's kind of tempted to throw some socialist terms in there, but he's really trying to keep it apolitical.
But socialism also, then and socialism now, or socialism in the 60s, 70s, that completely different forms of socialism.
Yeah, you could see in those days socialism maybe not sounding so bad. There were almost no social programs. One of the first social programs ever that was done on a large scale was health care for Civil War veterans. And then from about 1890 to 1920, about the only other big social program was a system to assist widowed mothers. I mean, there just wasn't anything. And there was a different feel about it. I mean, obviously, I didn't know the guy, but when I read about it, it is this push for American pride with socialism. It's not what you think of today when you see it. But he wants to put some of that in the pledge, but he's trying to keep this very neutral. This is a pledge to my flag and my country. And that's where he gets the liberty and justice for all. He sort of feels like if you've got a country with liberty and justice, everything else should take care of itself. Mm-hmm. And so that's where he stuck with those two words.
Yeah, back in those days, so that you get it in context, socialism, we didn't have Medicare, we didn't have Social Security, we didn't have universal health care. So it was very different. We had 12-hour work days, 7 days a week. Now we have the 40-hour work week.
4 hours. All right.
4 hours. Yeah, that's what I like. Yes. But 40-hour work weeks and time off from work, it was a very different time.
Kids working.
Yes, kids working. So socialism, I'm sure most of you out there listening, if you like those things, you like your 40-hour work week, your health insurance at that time.
Well, there wasn't really anything until the Great Depression. That was the first start of the big social. You were really on your own. So you can see where some of these folks think maybe there's a better way of doing things. Actually, his brother, Edward Bellamy, was a big socialist. And he writes a book called Looking Backward. And it is a socialist utopia. A guy wakes up and he's been sort of drugged and put to sleep for 50 years, comes back and there's a socialist utopia. It was a number one selling book in the world in the 1900s, with the 1800s, with the exception of the Bible.
Wow.
And it started these Bellamy clubs or nationalist clubs where they would get together and talk about all these socialist ideas. Yeah, when I first read this, I was a little surprised to see all that, but it was different.
Now, with him moving to Tampa, which at the time when he moved to Tampa, nobody's down there, that the population of Tampa was just tiny. Is that why y'all are here?
No, my great-grandfather was hired, and I think in about 1930, to come start the sociology department at FSU. Okay. That's how we got down
okay,
here.
Okay.
He started preaching socialism from the pulpit, saying Jesus was a socialist. And he started kind of getting his church bosses angry at him. And I think he essentially kind of got run out of the preaching business in New York and somehow ends up down in Tampa works for the gas company and the electric company. And
doing so, advertising.
Yep. And that's what he was at Use Companion, was an advertising executive. He had this feeling that advertising could be very powerful, but still could be truthful. You didn't have to be dishonest to advertise things. So that was sort of his profession was an advertiser. His trade may have been preaching, but his profession was an advertiser. So he goes down and works for the gas company, works for the electric company, ends up dying in Tampa, and gets buried back up north.
Back in Rome. Fascinating on his life, just with everything, but then the connection with you. I mean, you know, Tallahassee, one degree of separation, but now the separation with you.
Yeah, it's a neat little bit of lore. I wish I'd have known it in elementary school. I think I could have made something out of that.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
I didn't find out about it until I was 25, when you don't say the pledge that much.
That's
anymore.
What you ran for vice president in fourth grade. You know, pledge for the man behind the pledge.
Yeah, I could have.
You would have been the pledge leader every single day.
I lost student government elections. I couldn't get on the little safety patrol. If I'd have known this, I could have maybe pulled some stuff off.
Oh, yeah. Hindsight, 2020. Looking back.
But it is, yeah, it is a really neat story. A couple times I've been asked, when people find out, what do you think about the addition of Under God? Mm-hmm. It's amazing how that really gets people worked up.
Well, I don't think a lot of people know about, you know, how the drafts have changed through the years.
Yeah,
with the addition of Under God coming so much later, half a century later, that I remember when I did research on the pledge years ago, and I was like, I first found that out, and I was like, oh, okay. Then it made perfect sense with the time that we were in the United States to have those two words added in.
Yeah, it seemed to be more of a statement of, we're a better country than mm-hmm. Russia. You know, we're under God, you're not. Less so than a true religious statement. But it was interesting to see how they got it from the Gettysburg Address, even. This under God is a powerful statement.
And I find that great that was ad-libbed. I mean, I've been in that church that my best friend got married in, New York Presbyterian, New York Avenue Presbyterian Church, Lincoln's Church. And down there's a rough draft or early draft of the Gettysburg Address sitting in there. And you're sitting in Lincoln's pulpit. You're seeing all this history around you, D.C., obviously. But sitting in Lincoln's pulpit and seeing this draft of this. And then I'll have to go back when I'm heading up to D.C. later and see if, you know, all of a sudden scratch out Under God. But just an ad-lib, how it changed everything.
And apparently that's what pushed Eisenhower over, was sitting, they were sitting in Lincoln's pew at that church.
It's right up
front. And he's been getting pushed to do this. And again, a kind of a realization that it was an ad-lib moment, but a meaningful statement.
Fascinating, fascinating. Dave, good seeing you, brother.
Well, thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Always good seeing you.
Spread the nepotism.
Be right back. Questions in your eyes.
Welcome back to the Greg Tisch Show on Real Talk 93.3.
Looking to order some food today or next week for lunch, dinner, whatever? Look no further than Foodies Takeout and Delivery. Go on to your app store, whether you're Google Play, whatever you use for your app store. Download FoodiesTakeoutAndDelivery.com, mm-hmm. where you can order great food from great local Tallahassee-owned businesses, and they'll get it delivered to you super fast. And they won't take 20 to 30% of the total money from the order like the other third-party apps do. I know you're used to the third-party apps. Everybody's used to, what are we doing? We don't even call it delivery anymore. Hey, what are we doing? Look up blank, blank, or whatever app you use.
Right.
Let's have it delivered to us. They use the same people, the same drivers.
That's right.
But they're not taking money out of the business's pocket.
Correct. Which is the best part of it. I mean, that way the local businesses can still keep their money. They can make sure that they're making enough money. They don't have to push up their prices and jack them up so that you can't afford to actually get the food that you want. You know, that's what's got it going on. That's the best way. Yes, indeed. Truth.
We're down Friday down eating, and I didn't even want to get a dozen oysters. I was just like, It's just not worth it. And then for me, of course, and I say this all the time, the one question you have to ask, which I hate asking this question, is where are your oysters from? And the delightful bartender, we sat at the bar at this place down on the coast, and he's like, St. George. And I'm like, I'm sorry? And he goes, St. George, you're from St. George. And I'm like, where? And then he's like, oh, no. And then another guy came in. Yeah, we get him from a farmer right outside of St. George. And I was like, okay. And he told me what harbor
makes a little more sense.
And I was like, okay. And then the guy goes, oh, y'all local? And I was like, yes. He goes, all right. That's my answer. I'll say, well, you know, and just thick Southern accent.
Apparently he was from Wisconsin.
Super nice guy. Out in the parking lot, watermelon lady comes around to sell watermelon. I'll be right back, y'all. I got to go buy some watermelon. I was like, all right, y'all want one?
So he was a walking cliche is what you were
super
saying.
Super nice guy. That guy was not from Franklin County. There's not with that accent. That accent was Texas all over. But I was looking at the price. I was like, I just don't want to get them right now. I look at chicken wing prices.
Same thing.
And I go, I don't want them. And we went to brunch yesterday and decided I was look over the brunch menu.
Right.
Prior to going. And I was just like, this is brunch.
Yeah, and it's like $18 for a brunch.
That was the least, I think $15 was the least expensive item.
What I'm saying.
For a two-egg meal.
Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous.
Two eggs and two sides.
Yep.
$15.50.
Yep.
I got, and it was absolutely delicious, I got sausage biscuits and poached eggs.
Mm-hmm. Yum.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sausage gravy biscuits. I got biscuits and gravy with poached eggs on top. It was $18.50. And for two poached eggs, two biscuits, and some sausage gravy.
I need to go to a breakfast store, dude.
It was delicious.
I'm sure it was.
But there was the steak and eggs. It was like $30. I was like, I'm not spending $30 on brunch.
Mm-mm.
You know, and then you add on top the, you know, your Bloody Marys or the mimosas. I know most places have mimosa deals, but that's like the cheapest champagne they can find.
Right.
It's like $1 a bottle retail,
mm-hmm,
or wholesale.
Yep.
But I was like, this is why I don't like to go out to eat. And then, I mean, it was like $36, I think, for two.
Yeah.
With the brunch. And then, I mean, it was absolutely delicious, but I was just like, I can cook this. I can make this. And I think that's what deters me. And I think a lot of others right now, and it wasn't the place's fault. They got to make money.
Oh, sure.
Because they had people packed in there like it was a Spirit Airways plane. Literally, we had two people leaving our table had to find a way to maneuver around the other tables because they were so close together.
Well, apparently still people are going out for breakfast and for brunch.
Listening to, and listening to the group behind us about their conversation. I wasn't trying to eavesdrop. It was just, they were right in our ears.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure they heard everything we were talking about. But I was just, and again, it's not the restaurant's fault. This is a tough time. We see it each day, each week. There's more places that are closing down in town that we're losing these wonderful local places.
Yeah.
And because they're being, you know, and you think about the food service folks also, they got to stay in business. Everybody's got to make money.
Right.
We're not in this to lose money.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But the prices are coming up and up and up and up and up.
Yeah.
And literally, I mean, how much did your wings cost you yesterday? Don't tell me where you got them. Just how much did your wings cost you yesterday? How many did you get? Let me guess. How many wings did you get?
Okay. I did not buy them at a traditional store.
Okay, but
I bought them at a grocery store. So,
okay.
Because of that, they weren't that bad. Okay. It was.
So you got Publix wings?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So it was like $16, but still.
But for a whole big old box, right. Like 20
exactly.
of them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's about the only way you can buy them these days where it's even going to be remotely affordable. I could spend the exact same amount on 10 wings going somewhere else. And,
yeah, we went
and
to a place for
situation.
Father's Day, and I wanted some wings.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't care to put that.
Right. I don't blame you. I wouldn't want to put that either. Now, have you ever had a full English breakfast before?
I would bake beans and stuff.
With the baked beans,
no,
and the toast
no.
points,
why
everything
would,
else.
That's crazy.
I saw something online that I think I want to try, and I may try and bring it in for the food segment.
No.
It was, have you ever had frog in a hole?
I don't even know what the heck that is.
It goes by many names. It could
egg
be bird
toast?
In the nest,
yeah,
egg
had,
and toast.
Of course I've had that.
That sort
yes,
of thing.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said, of course I've had that. Yes. Yes. I used to get that at the place no longer. Well, they've moved,
mm-hmm,
but they used to have those with filet mignon
right
in between. I remember going there and it was like $15 for that. And that was only like, you know, mm-hmm, 5 years ago.
Well, I
and
saw
it was so good, but prices are just, if that was now, that would be $30 for
that. Yeah, exactly. I saw one online that looked actually pretty intriguing, and it what it was like a egg and toast, but instead of just the egg, they scrambled the egg and they mixed it with the baked beans. And then they inserted the sausage into it as well.
Okay, you lost.
And it was like the piece of toast. They cut the toast out of it. They used like a good sized baguette.
How much would that be at a restaurant these days?
Oh, that would probably be like $15 for two slices, easily.
No, because they had this place didn't have avocado toast. They had guacamole toast.
Oh, they had guac toast,
and it was $16.
I'm guac toast intolerant, though.
So. $16 for guacamole toast. So I'm like, all right, so they're buying
good Lord.
Pre-made guac.
Yeah.
And spreading on toast, selling it for $15. I mean, again, mm-hmm. a two-egg breakfast.
Right.
With two sides was $15. And again, I'm not angry with the restaurant. They have to do what they have to do to
of
survive.
Of course they do. Yeah.
But it's just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And that and I was looking around at everybody, looking at the when they got the menu, because I already had my sticker shock.
Right.
And so everybody picking up the menu, and I could see a couple people going,
going, are you serious?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's a wee bit preffy, you know? I don't know if I'd be able to go get that sort of thing.
Whoa. But again, this is a nicer place. Mm-hmm. So you're going to expect those prices because you're paying for the atmosphere.
Right.
Or, you know, or being just herded in like Spirit Airways.
Unfortunately.
But I saw so many friends. I mean, but I was just like, because we just don't go out that often.
Right.
That I can cook, you know, you give me $30, I'll cook for a week on that.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just.
Absolutely.
But I feel it from the restaurant owners.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that this is a tough time. So that's why you need to keep using, this was not turning into a Foodies takeout and delivery commercial. But order from Foodies takeout and delivery, because these prices can come down.
Mm-hmm.
We start keeping local money local. I mean, 20% to 30%.
Yeah.
Gone.
Mm-hmm. Going to buy because somebody else's home on Malibu or wherever they're putting their beach house.
In.
Yeah. It's sad, but I mean, I understand that that's what's going to happen, but it's the way of the world now, unfortunately. But on the plus side, if you've got that really good place that you like to go for either like a lunch or a breakfast or something like that, and it's they're not using Foodies takeout and delivery, tell them about it, because that's going to help them out as well. Absolutely.
Inside Out 2, number one again.
Right on.
$100 million over the weekend. I tried, yep. Matt, I tried to watch the original on
and you couldn't
Disney,
do it?
Disney Plus over the weekend. I just couldn't do it. I watched. I ended up watching the Weird Al story again. Let me tell you, you want to take a good nap? Put mm-hmm. that movie on.
Yeah.
I fell asleep three times to that movie over the weekend, and I loved that movie. Daniel Radcliffe does an amazing job. Weird Al is absolutely hilarious in that movie.
Yes, he is.
It is a funny, funny movie, mm-hmm. and I forgot how funny it was. It's on Hulu.
Yeah.
And you get ads every once in a while.
Right.
But gosh, it's so funny how he wrote Eat It before mm-hmm. Beat It came out. And Eat It was like that he had stopped parodying songs.
Right.
And he was only going to do original stuff, and he released Eat It and became the biggest song in the world, in the history of the world. And then Michael Jackson parodied it mm-hmm. with Beat It.
Yep. Surreal.
Golly. Be right back.
Going to be away from the radio? Be sure to listen on RealTalk93.com or download our Real Talk 93.3 app today. We define local radio. It's the Greg Tisch Show on Real Talk 93.3.
This next story doesn't surprise me at all.
Okay.
So Ryan Seacrest has taken over Wheel of Fortune. They've started airing those shows.
Yes.
Pat Sajak, after, 41 years or something,
mm-hmm.
stepped down. But Vanna stayed, and she's going to finish out her contract.
Right.
And I guess that they've made some changes to kind of make it more of a Ryan show, which
more
is fine. That, well, he's 50.
Yeah.
So, but kind of changing things. But it's not and they keep using the word jibe, and I really think that this author has no idea what the word jibe is.
Yeah.
She, even that Kelly Coffee Barons, and she's like, Vanna White may exit Wheel of Fortune, doesn't jibe with Ryan Seacrest.
Okay.
And then the B and the V are right beside each other on the keyboard.
Right.
And I think that she just wrote down jibe.
Right.
In the beginning. And just kept it going in the story. But she's 67. She has nothing to prove.
Right.
And if they replaced her, and she's leaving when her contract is over. But I think that she is, what they're saying now is she is considering leaving early.
Right.
Because she just can't do it without Pat. That okay. it's just too, I don't blame her at all.
Yeah.
It's just
if
not
you've worked with somebody for that long in your career and all of a sudden you've got somebody completely different over there, I don't know how well that would work. You know? I mean, granted, she's turning the letters and she's clapping, but at the same time, I don't know. That's a hard thing to do. You know, if you're looking across from somebody that you've known forever,
right,
they're not there anymore. It's not really the same.
And they're off on the beach somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. They've gone to Puerto Vallarta.
I don't know how many millions a year that she makes. I know that at one time she was making $3 million a year, and I think they doubled that. And then I know she's worth more than Pat.
Right.
Because her net worth is more because she got into real estate.
Exactly.
A long time ago, and she's reaping the rewards of making great decisions. Not that Pat doesn't have money. It's just like she's like $10 or $20 million worth more than Pat.
Right.
So, but she's like, she just finds the job difficult to do this without Pat. Because like us.
Yeah.
We've been doing this, what, 2.5, almost 3? I don't even know how long.
Yeah, for a while.
But I can feel you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know when you need to step in, when there's going to be, and I know when to step in.
Yeah, if something's going weird over on this side of the glass, you know that you need to fill in for that, and vice versa.
And not ask you a question.
Going on over there. We don't have to say, are you okay?
Right, but having that, you know, coming, having that change, like when you came in.
Mm-hmm.
That I had to realize I don't have Rob over there.
Yeah.
That I've got you. And so that's why we did a big reformatting of the show.
That's right. Yeah.
So it'd be new to both of us.
Exactly.
And then so that's what they're doing also with Wheel is they're, and I'm using air quote, is, oh God, it hurts. I can't, yeah, my finger, I can't.
Fingers
bend.
Are all wacky.
Let me use air quote just on my left hand.
Yeah.
Did a little revamp, a little update, something that they may have wanted to do with Pat and Vanna, but reinvent the wheel when the wheel's making everybody millions?
Yeah, exactly.
But they've done that with Ryan.
Right.
And so she's just like, okay, I think I made a mistake. I know they're trying to go in a different direction and appeal to a younger demographic. Well, they wanted to appeal to a younger demographic. Would Seacrest have been the right choice?
Well,
because Seacrest is 50.
Yeah.
So he can, you know, we'll say Seacrest will do this 15 years at the most.
Mm-hmm.
Would you have gone with somebody younger? But who's out there, too? Because game show hosts just aren't, you're just not finding a game show host. But also, the Price is Right.
Yeah.
Really, I mean, they took a lot of heat when Drew came on.
True. Oh, yeah.
But now it's his show. It's his style.
Exactly.
He's doing what he wants. They reinvented that show. But he's no spring chicken either. But neither one of these shows, you got Wheel and Jeopardy.
Right.
Ken Burns doing a fantastic job on Jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
But also, those circumstances wasn't, Alex Trebek didn't.
Yeah, that wasn't smooth.
He didn't retire.
Either. Yeah.
He didn't retire and where you could miss him. You miss him for other reasons because of the pancreatic cancer.
Right.
But with this, why are you going after a younger audience? This will never be a younger audience show.
No, not so much.
This is Wheel and Jeopardy back to back. You're not getting kids together going, hey, you coming over to, or FaceTiming each other. Hey, we watching Wheel tonight?
Mm-hmm.
That I don't think that millennials or Zers give a flying rat about this. Xers, yeah, we do because we grew up on these shows. So we still want to watch these shows to pretend that we're smart.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really good at Jeopardy. I've always wanted to take that test.
Right. Just to see if you would be able to
but I don't know,
qualify.
But that's just the one little aspect of that game. Wheel, I suck at Wheel.
Yeah.
I am no good at Wheel. I wasn't good at Hangman.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, but with Hangman, I could kind of get in the person's head. I was like, all right, I know Matt. I know
right.
this poop.
Yeah.
Yes. How'd you know that? But I know you. That's why I'm really good at apples to apples.
Right.
Because I get in the other people's heads or cards against humanity. I know who put that card down because I know that person. Mm-hmm. But with Wheel, I don't know who's writing these things.
True.
So I can't do it. I don't watch it. I don't watch it enough to be good at it.
And that's the hard part, too.
You put me on the beat Shazam. I'll beat the heck out of Shazam.
Well, the other side of that, too, is how many other people could potentially take on that job?
Her job? So who would we get to who would they get to replace Vanna? You got Seacrest, 50, 49, 50.
Well, everybody is saying it's going to be one of two people. It's going to be either Vanna White's daughter or Pat Sajak's daughter. Now, Pat Sajak has filled in for Vanna White in the past.
Pat Sajak's daughter has
Correct.
Filled in.
Yeah. Well, Pat Sajak didn't do anything. Why didn't he get up there and spin some letters around?
Because they work 2 months out of the year. That's the I know. Top 2 months.
But I mean, like, yeah, I think that both of those would be beneficial. But then again, you're also falling into sort of that nepotism thing. And it's like, do we really want to go with like the
Do you
the
want
old
that
classic?
Familiarity?
Yeah.
The familiar part of the show will be the wheel, will be the prizes.
Yeah.
Now, that's not changing.
Now, if Ryan Seacrest is not able to do this thing, because he's already has like 5 or 6 shows that he already does.
I don't know if he's doing that many because he's not doing Idol anymore, obviously.
But he's producing a lot of stuff still, too.
Is he still doing the top 40?
I believe so. I mean, I would not be surprised if he was. So it's a weird situation. But yeah, I would say that that's definitely one of those things where it's like, yeah, you gotta figure out what you're going to do with this thing. Because Terry Crews is already busy. But you know who's ready to roll? Andy!
Welcome to the Florida Farm Bureau Insurance Wheel of Food on the Greg Tisch Show. I'm Andy Cohen, agent with Florida Farm Bureau Insurance. Please give me a call at 850-877-6581 for all your insurance needs. Now, spin that wheel, Maddie.
There we go.
Today on the wheel, Smitty's Tap House and Grill out of Northeast Tallahassee, right off of Thomas Hill Road, just northeast of Cary Forest Parkway.
Yes, indeed.
Is it a $20 gift card, or is it a $50 gift card, or is it a Tisch gift card?
That's the key
three
question.
Three possibilities today.
And Greg Tisch is the winner. So it looks like we got double prizes tomorrow. How about that?
Double prizes tomorrow because my name popped up. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. I'm very excited about that.
Very cool.
Very, very cool. Maddie.
Not too shabby.
Be a better person today than you were yesterday. Everybody else, we'll see you bright and early. Everybody else, you do the same.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see you bright and early tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. right here on Real Talk 93.3.
Hey, thanks for listening to your Monday edition of The Greg Tisch Show. Now, normally we have Brian Kilmeade on next. However, today he has the day off. Mary Walter's filling in for him. So you can always watch and listen to that and have a grand old time with Mary Walters. Have a great day, everybody. Bye now.